And welcome to Tabletop Game Talk On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop gaming topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
I'm Kitty.
And I'm Chris.
Today we'll be talking about promos and exclusives, those extra game bits you get for pre-ordering a game, or a demo at a convention, or buying from BGG, or chasing Romans around convention halls, or it's a cross-promotion from another game, or, of course, Kickstarter. However, you get them. How do they affect your enjoyment of the game? Has a promo ever got you to buy a game? Are you someone that wants everything for your favorite games? And how do promos and exclusives affect our buying habits for this or any other hobby or industry?
Wow, that was good. But first, as always, we're going to thank our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jojam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, the SGC, and our newest Patreon friend of the show, Thomas Accaretti. I'm going to say it that way, Thomas, until you email us and say, you're butchering it.
We expect that any minute now.
Yes. It's, if you really want us to hear it, you butcher your name, listen to last week's Kickstarter episode at the end, because there are like 15 different ways of saying it. So, and a huge thank you to all our other patrons as well. This daylight savings thing is great in the morning. At the night, it's not as great. So
I'm very tired.
Yeah. We're recording at our normal time, but it's an hour later. So we're all like, wait a minute, aren't we done recording yet?
Don't respect daylight savings time, it turns out.
Yeah. I hear babies are the worst, but
they're the worst and the best at the same time.
I'll find out in 3 more months.
So soon.
I know. Josh.
Exciting times.
You've been gone from my mind for a little while, but I guess it's only been like 2 weeks.
No, yeah. It's not been too long. I went on a very nice sort of house by a lake, a friend of mine's, and we played a lot of board games and lots of fun was had. So I had a great weekend.
Oh, what'd you play?
We call those lake houses.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
That's why the lake is a horror movie, but
nothing horrible happened. No, we played The Mind, we played Sushi Go, we played Insider. It was so much fun.
So lots of social group game stuff.
Yeah, pretty casual stuff. It was good though. They really got into it.
I think The Mind is going to be my number one gift recommendation for the Christmas.
People you don't like?
Well, for people I both like and don't like, because it's cheap enough to get for the people you don't like, but cool enough for the people you do. Mm. So they'll just have to figure it out. It's like, wait a minute, we just stare at each other? Yeah, it's so much fun. Thank you for the gift.
Well, see, that's not how I play it, though. I know that I may not be playing exactly to the rules. Know. No, I am the policeman in every group. They want to cheat way more than I let them. But, you know, doing just the body language and doing a few hand gestures. No one can see this, but I'm sort of waving my hand around.
Looks like a fish.
Vaguely. Yeah. It adds a sort of element of like, oh, we're almost there, but we still don't quite know. Everyone seemed to love it. Yeah. So it went down a treat.
No, I really like playing it that way. So yeah, and we are, let's see, this is the episode after we got back from Essen. Time is just totally warped in the past like 3 weeks. So I think Essen was the last episode we did.
Essen was the last episode we did, and Game Hole Con will be the next episode we do.
Yeah. So yeah. And I think last week I said that we're gonna do the feedback episode after this one. I think I'm gonna have to push it back one more because I just won't have time to compile all the feedback. So we'll probably do a double giveaway in that feedback episode. But yeah.
Double giveaway.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, so let's actually talk about a topic.
Okay.
If you insist.
I know, it was crazy. This one came from Terrence. It's actually a suggestion from Terrence. Terrence gives us a number of topics, and oftentimes we incorporate them in different ways, but this one I just kind of pulled as is. Promos and exclusives. Like, how do these affect our gaming lives? And going to different conventions, pre-ordering games and stuff like this, I'm like, constantly faced with this whole promos and exclusives thing, and Kickstarter is exclusives all over the place. So we have some talking points and we have a lot of really good input on this too, but I'm wondering, what are your guys' take on promos and exclusives? Like, are you more likely to buy a game if it's a Kickstarter exclusive, or if you pre-order it, you get promos? Like, Josh, do you ever actually, does this even cross your mind that you could get a promo?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like interested to see how much I can really contribute here, because it really doesn't, right? It's not something I've ever even thought about. It's not something that's ever really like cross my mind. I mean, I can definitely put myself in other people's shoes and say, okay, you know, I can see why people would want that exclusive content because it's really cool and rare, or maybe it modifies the game in some way. So I can kind of see some of those elements. But for me, it's just like, the kind of games I'm buying doesn't really have that much exclusive content. And I just don't think it really matters to me.
So if you were at a convention and you heard that the Mind had a promo card, they were giving away 101, would you seek that card out?
I mean, if they were giving it away, sure I would. Absolutely. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a cool addition. And I think, you know, it's a nice little add-on. But I just haven't been in that situation where that's really captured my attention. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it's just not happened yet.
What about you, Kitty?
My experience with promos is that there are two kinds for me. There's a kind where I bought a box at a convention and I opened it up and I'm like, oh, what a delightful surprise. I have a promo because this is a new printing or whatever it is. And it was made at the same time as the rest of these cards and it fits in delightfully. How nice. I get this special thing. But I didn't really seek it out. And the other kind is, you know, I come across them, I've sought them out, whatever it is. I have this card, I go to put it in my game and the backs don't match and it's just a thing that is an irritation because it should just work or it doesn't really fit in the game, it doesn't really add anything, and now it's just like another piece of paper that you stick in the rule book because if you try to play with it, it's just like, oh, I know what card you have.
Yeah.
That's the slightly different red.
That is probably my biggest pet peeve with promos. Like, I get excited about it and then it's a card that you need to shuffle into a deck, but it's slightly off. The color's slightly off. The card texture is a little bit off. There was one game we played, which is not a very popular game, but it is a fun game. It's called Black Rose. And they had a promo card, which was the Black Rose promo card. And we were so excited because Sydney, Sarah, and I used to play this all the time. And we were at a convention. They were giving away this promo. So we got this promo. And it's like, oh, man, this will just like fit right in. No problem. We got home and I noticed that the corners of the cards were not slightly off. They were completely off. It was like a rounding radius of a half inch versus a quarter or an eighth inch. It was just so like the only thing this card can do is sit in the box and like taunt me that, hey, you got this great promo card.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could play with this?
Well, to make it worse, it wasn't a standard poker size card that you could just sleeve. No, it was like these really long and skinny cards, which just there's no sleeves for them. So, yeah, sometimes promos will bite you, and I don't like that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I was happy with my game as is, but now I know that I could have this promo, but I can't actually incorporate it.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I made you read something. I think I should explain it. Chasing Romans around at a convention hall.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask all about that. I was like, what on earth is that?
So we were at Essen, and Forum Trojanum is a new Steffenfeld game. And it's a really, really good game. We really enjoyed it. And there are promo packs that you can get. There's like a little pack of promo cards. But the way they were giving away the promo cards is you had to take this punch card. It was actually a stamp card. And you had to find three Romans around the convention hall. Now, there were two booths. There was one that was a U.S. distributor, which is Stronghold Games, and one which was the European distributor. And there was, like, designated Romans at those booths. So you could get two stamps that you needed, but you needed to get three. The other Romans were wandering around this huge convention hall. Think Gen Con-sized convention hall. And you had to just kind of wander through the halls, finding a Roman that was dressed up. Hope it wasn't just a cosplayer or weren't, like, going up to a random stranger. And then they would give you that final punch, and then you could take it back and you get your pack of promo cards. Inside the pack of promo cards, there's three additional scoring cards. So there's like a scorecard at the end of each age. There's three different ages in the game. And that was just an additional way of scoring. But in the book, it tells you how all the basic scorecards work, so it describes them to you. But the promo cards don't actually have those descriptions. So you can't actually use them until you've kind of understand the iconography, which doesn't take that. It's not that bad. But I'm just like, wait, what does this do? Because I just shuffled them in because it looked like, oh, yeah. Oh. And I pulled this card. And I'm like, wait, what? Okay, we're not using that one. So, yeah. And there's harder ways. I've seen other ways that are like, this is how you get a promo card, and it's not easy.
It's interesting because it actually makes you work for it. And so it kind of like gives it more value and it adds this exciting, fun experience to it. So you really remember it. So I don't know. From a marketing perspective, I think it's gold.
Yeah. Well, I haven't checked on eBay yet to see what the going rate is for these promos. So we'll see. We ended up getting two because Sydney was with me. So I'm like, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to get two of these cards. And there's absolutely no way to duplicate them. Like, you'd never need to duplicate it at all. So, like, I have an unopened pack of these promo cards that eventually I'll get rid of. I should get rid of it sooner than later. Otherwise, the value of them will go down. Very limited values.
Right.
Okay, so promos. There's a lot of different ways that these happen. Kickstarter. Let's just cover Kickstarter at the beginning so that we don't keep going back to it. Because we cover Kickstarter quite a bit. And I think that Kickstarter is its own thing, but it's worth mentioning. Kickstarter, right. Exclusives. Kitty, has it ever made you buy a game? And are you likely to upgrade to add exclusives if you know that you can't get it any other way?
No. I'm not the completionist that you are. And if anything, I sometimes am like irritated by the like, oh, we're like branding this Kickstarter as like, oh, how exclusive. Check out our exclusivity with all these promos. And it's just like, ugh, I don't like it. But at the same time, you know, a lot of the Kickstarters I back do have Kickstarter exclusive content, but it's not why I back the game. I back the game because it was a game that I thought looked interesting, I liked, that had cool mechanics, and these special promos or extra bits, exclusives that come with it is just gravy to me.
Yeah, I think I started out certainly where Kickstarter exclusives
were why you did things.
Yeah.
Because you were backing CMON games and you can buy those at any store. So the only reason to do it on Kickstarter is to get the bazillion minis they give away as exclusives.
Yeah. But all right. So in your defense, I'm still buying Kickstarter Cool Mini or not games and doing that.
Yeah.
Although I'm being a little bit more selective because, and actually this is a good way to segue to some listener input here.
I actually got some from Samir who kind of touched on this because he definitely does say like he'd be lying if the promos and exclusives have not been a deciding factor in some of the Kickstarters, just like you, Chris. And he also said something like, oh, he's not sure if it's on topic or not, but he does promos for YouTube channels that run Kickstarters to support themselves, which I'm not sure, I didn't even know that was a thing, but
Kickstart anything.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is a deciding factor to some people. And I think it is, like we were saying, that kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, so what he's talking about there is like when the Dice Tower Network will go and do their annual Kickstarter. And part of their different levels are promotions or promo cards for individual games. So you get like promo pack A, B, C, D. And each promo pack will have promos from several different games. And you can decide which one you want or how many different ones you want. Or you can just give them money because you like what they do. But really, you know, if there's promos there, I'm like, oh, I could get this zombie side figure promo and also be contributing to the Dice Tower. Sure, I'll back them for $50. Right. I think there is 100% makes sense to have promos there.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
I mean, it's like the tote bag. You know, yes. Everyone gives away a tote bag. It's just like a thank you gift. And, you know, because you're game specific, you know, it makes sense to give away game specific swag to your backers.
Yeah. Well, and so like Watch It Play does this too. They haven't done it this year because Watch It Play is now partnered with Board Game Geek. So they're not doing a Kickstarter campaign this year. But 2 years ago, I was part of their Kickstarter campaign and I got like character cards and Crossroad cards for Dead of Winter. And I really liked his character, so I like used his character, and his kids were like Crossroad cards in the game and stuff like that. So for them, I think that's like super cool. It's like, look, we're in a game. For me, I'm like, oh, it's cool. He's like, these people that I know and I watch online, they're in this game that I like to play, and you can kind of tell a story around it. Dice Tower, their promo figures are characters of themselves. So Tom is an Arcadia Quest hero. And Eric is a, I think he's a necromancer in one of the, I'm pretty sure he's a necromancer in the Black Plague, Zombicide Black Plague game. So those types of things are kind of cool because now you're getting like a piece of like personas that you really like and you're pulling those into your games. So I can see that.
I know that there was a funny little ribbing they did of Z and they had like their live show and they had a yeah. Z promo and it was like the whole segment was like you try and win and if you win you get to choose if you get the Z figurine or you just say no I don't want it and I'll have nothing. It was like Z or nothing or something.
Yeah.
But they liked using that to rib him.
Yeah, because well Z's figure was a figure for Rum and Bones, which okay. was not a very popular game. Like, it just wasn't as successful as it should have been. So, nobody wanted the Z figure. So, it was always, like, Z or, like, Z or T, or Z or die, or, like, and they had, like, a six-sided die, or you could get the Z figurine, and people would have to decide. So, that was pretty good.
Awesome.
Samir also mentions, and I'm going to read this because I agree with him here, and this may have been my breaking point as well. Those who listen will remember this time, as it was only a few months ago. As for the question of alternate characters being a selling point, it was a big thing for me for a while. But after tracking down so many alternate player characters for Arcadia Quest, many of which may never see the light of day, I've really begun to question if extra starting players are really all that worth it. But that really goes back to value, replayability, conversions from earlier episodes and such like that. So I have every character from Arcadia Quest. I backed Starcadia Quest and I have every character from that. And well, at least when they show up, I will. I think that that will be the last time I do that because I started doing Zombicide and I really like that game. And I'm like, oh, I could get all the stuff. And I'm like, but I don't need it. I'm not going to play it that much. It's just not necessary. And I think it took me to a point where I kind of broke the completionist in me. I'm like, it's okay not to have every piece of additional stuff for this game.
Oh my goodness. He's a new man. He's turned over a new leaf.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Send an ambulance.
I'm a little twitching. But it doesn't go for everything, though. Well, it sort of does, I will say. And actually, this is a plea. This is a plea to our listeners. I've never asked anything of our listeners, I don't think. Maybe. If I did, it's on
feedback.
Yeah. Well, we do ask for feedback. But no. Here's what I'm looking for. I really, really like the Arkham Horror LCG. In fact, it's probably it's in my top three favorite games right now. There is one character card that you could only get by pre-ordering the Investigators of Arkham hardcover way before I even realized that I would like the Arkham Horror LCG, which I cannot find anywhere at all. To add to it, it's a character that they'll eventually print and release somewhere, but probably the two support cards won't. But anyway, the quality of the card is a print-and-play quality. So it's not even the same quality as all the other cards, but it's a character card, so it never gets shuffled in, so it should be fine. But I really want this card because it's the only thing I'm missing. If anyone has any contacts, let me know. Email me at Tabletop Game Talk. Podcast or feedback. I don't know. However you want to email me.
I thought it would be worth as well saying Corey's input because it really kind of feeds into what you were saying, right? He says, I used to be really into promos. Then I got some, I played with them, and then the novelty wore off. So I'm still on the lookout for the occasional Wonder promo for Seven Wonders Duel. But real talk now. Promos are catnip for acquisition disorder junkies, which it sounds like you're a reformed one, Chris. This is great. Because unless you get them at the convention, point of sale, as a little sweetener, which I do think is a cool, fun way for publishers to build excitement and brand loyalty, it's all about the chase.
I like Chris's feedback here. Chris Anderson says, one other thing promos are good for is selling to completionists. This year, I sold a bunch of promos I picked up for free at Origins and Gen Con. Seems like you can get $2 to $5 for most cards or pieces. Promos that can add up.
Yeah, so
Chris is selling to Chris.
Yeah, going back to CMON, because their promos go for a lot. There's one figure for Arcadia Quest that I ended up spending somewhere like in the neighborhood of $75 for. Because you can only get it from CMON at conventions, and you get tickets. So every $25 you spend, you get a ticket. So you had to get four tickets, and then you could get this thing, but you had to be there to get it. So another one, I think this was just a free giveaway. They were giving away I think it was the 2016 promo pack of cards. And in there was a single card for Zombicide Black Plague. I happened to have two or three of those packs. I think I had three of those packs. And a few months ago, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can sell these cards. Tiny little card, $35 a piece, instantly sold on eBay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't price them right.
I apparently not. So there is an aftermarket for some of these promos. Now, there's other promos. They're prestige promos. Cool miniatures, box, decent size. You can't give that away. Like,
yeah.
But they did. They gave it to me at CMONCON. But I can't give it away after that because, like, nobody plays this game. Nobody cares. So it's a – what is it? Speculative? Is that speculation? What's the thing where you're, like, investing but it's not really a real thing?
You're a speculator.
Okay, that works. So, yeah, promo.
Well, that's the interesting thing because, and in fact, I'll read Tim's thing here because I'm not sure I get the exact definition between the promo and the exclusive. But he says, I like promos more so than exclusives. I'm starting to really judge my want of purchasing a game based on actually playing the game. Exclusives are usually just for pre-orders. He also agrees with Kitty on disliking CMON's buy it early to get a bunch of extra stuff model.
Yeah. It does work for them, though, because you spend a lot of money. Like, that's their way of getting you into it. Now, exclusives and promos are a tricky thing to... we can get into definition land here.
Right.
Because you can say, if you pre-order this, you get this promo. Or if you buy this on Kickstarter, you get this exclusive. I almost want to just say they're the same thing called...
Right.
A little different. Promos might be more mainstream, where exclusives may be more you can only get it this way. And that's what makes a promo an exclusive. Maybe promos are the superset and exclusives are a subset of promo. That makes sense?
Yeah, I kind of get
that. Yeah, them. Nerd.
What? We're a board game podcast. I can be a little nerdy.
For sure.
It's true. So, yeah, I would say exclusives to me is like a Kickstarter word. These are like, it's always a Kickstarter exclusive, whereas promos are mostly things I think of picking up at conventions. Right. So I don't know if they actually like there is some difference to what they are in my mind, but like that's where the separation is. Like a promo is almost always like I stopped by the booth of the publisher and I got the card or the piece or I won it from this thing. It comes from something other than just buying the game, whereas exclusives are something you get for buying a game in a certain way.
Yeah,
you could also that makes sense.
Well, you could also say exclusives are something you buy and promos are something that are given away, but not all promos are given away because BGG has an entire section where they sell promos and they're very appropriately priced. It's not like gouging prices or something, but that's one of the ways they supplement their site is board games. Board game companies and publishers will send them promos and then they can sell those promos. And if you're looking for a promo for a board game, that's a really good place to go because they have tons and tons and tons of them.
But are these like extra promos that are like, oh, these are printed for a convention. We didn't give them all away. So now they are given to BGG and that's what they do with them? Or is it?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes there are exclusive BGG things that BGG will go to the publisher and say, hey, we want to, you know, sell a promo. And they'll work with them. Sometimes they're just leftovers. Sometimes there's a number of different ways that they get them. But
I feel like that's just using the word wrong.
Those are like you could just call them.
I would call those exclusives. Mini expansions. Sure. It's something that the publisher is selling at that point. Whereas a promotion to me is like we'll give you this thing for free because you came here and you looked at our stuff and you probably bought a lot of our stuff and this only works if you give us your money. But this is free.
Yeah. I wish all promos were free. Although I will say that usually from game publishers, promos are free and they tend to be very little.
Yes.
But and I don't know what you would, if there's another word, maybe mini expansion, but when you buy a promo, like what is that? Is it still a promo or is it now, you know, hey, trade us money for goods. You're buying a product. It's not a promo. It's a product at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. I'm going to go to some thoughts from Michael Ohl. So he has some really, really good ones here. And I'm just going to kind of pick and choose through this. So Michael, and we've talked about it before, he actually does a lot of demoing for games. So he has an interesting perspective on this because he gives away promos. And I will say that when I was doing the Dungeons & Dragons Adventurer League, I had a lot of things that I would get as a DM where I could give to the players. But I have like stacks of certificates for magic items and stuff. If I'm a player, this is like coveted. As for me, I'm like, I just have a stack of these things and I don't know what I'm going to do with them because yeah, I don't want to throw them out, but I don't really want to go online and sell them either. And the rules change all the time, so it doesn't really matter. But one thing he does say is he has 6 extra cards for the Harry Potter Hogwarts game. So, hey, Michael, if you want to get rid of those, Sydney would really like that. But anyway, I'm not asking of my listeners, but... One of the things he mentions, though,
please don't send us all your promos, guys. Do not.
Unless it's the Arkham Horror promo from the investigators. I should know her name because I search for it on a regular basis, but she's the singer. Anyway, he mentions a different class of promo, and that is the glass or the shot glass or the coaster. Really, anything branded with a game. What do we think of those?
Merchandise,
yeah.
You mean... the clutter?
But yes. So you're anti-clutter promos?
I am totally anti-clutter promos. They are just things in my house that require dusting that then I feel guilty for getting rid of because it's like, oh, it's like the gift-giving guilt of like, I got this for doing this thing and it's a nice thing and I don't want to get rid of it, but... it's just, it's a piece of guilt in my house that I have to clean.
I will say the glasses, I've hit capacity on promo glasses. I can't.
I have so many glasses. I have so many coasters. I have so many, even like dice I put in this category. I don't even know how many dice. Like Spencer has like a chest of dice and we come back from conventions just like empty our pockets of dice. It's like, how many 6-sided dice do we need in this house? They'll never all get used.
You can never have too many dice. This is a gamer's rule.
I mean, like we need to start playing like sorcerers or something. One of those characters that always is rolling a million dice because... that's the only way, and we're going to like use them as expendable resources. Once I've rolled them, they're used. That's the only way I'm going to actually use all the dice in my house.
All right. I'm going to focus on Josh here for a second. So Sushi Go. You were playing Sushi Go, which is a great game. If you had little shot glasses, like Sushi Go shot gas glasses or something like that, would that enhance that experience? Would that be something you pull out and like, this is funny? Or would it be like a one and done thing?
I think actually that could be cool because especially it was like, you know, a group of young adults like all having a good time drinking. So actually it would have been quite good because there's that moment in Sushi Go where you say Sushi Go and you move on to the next thing. So, you know, you could fill it with beer and just have a little shot of beer every time you move on. Sushi Go, have a shot of beer. So I think it would. Like, I could definitely see myself getting into that. I think it should be something like that. You know, I would look for promos or exclusives that somehow enhance the experience. And I think, you know, that would actually do that.
Yeah, I actually do like coasters, and we have a vast collection of coasters, although the RPG coasters are the ones I use most frequently. But I have like I think it's Who Goes There, or I think that's the name of the game. It's the Thing social deduction game, but it comes with Kickstarter, there were exclusive coasters that you could get. And there was a character coaster for each character. So if we ever play this game, which I plan to at some point in my life, everyone can have a coaster. Problem is, it's, you know, if it's coaster appropriate, the coasters are different than everything else. So I still have to store these things. They're kind of big and bulky. But they, in concept, it sounds like such a great idea. In practice, it really is just a lot of extra clutter that I can't sell on eBay because nobody wants coasters. Maybe at Etsy.
I think sometimes it's nice if you're really, really into a game and you're really, really into the brand and you're just like, you do want to represent, like, oh, I'm going to this convention. Like, I want to wear my Tabletop Game Talk t-shirt, you know, or my Werewolf t-shirt.
That's not a promo. That's a way of life.
I absolutely agree, and that's great. Because so it is kind of like, yeah, I'm representing. Like, I love Werewolf. I'm a Werewolf player. I play every time I go to a convention. And I'll put my, you know, Werewolf themed T-shirt on. You know, it's kind of cool. And then other people can be like, ah, I'll see you at the social deduction room later. So it could be cool like that.
Yeah. Kitty, is that a coaster you have?
This is a coaster that I have. It is after my rant against coasters. This is my one coaster giveaway that I really like. This one actually came from a book convention, but it's a soft coaster and it's perfect if you're a podcaster for putting your drink down without making big clinks on the table. Ooh, so I take it back.
And it's hot.
Sometimes
pink.
They are useful things.
And you have to have a variety of coasters because you never know when you need to like avoid the clank, or you need a little bit more stability or something.
Or you need to put out only the ones that children can't drop on the floor and take a chunk out because they're made of slate or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, all right. So Michael has some comments on alternate art promos. So he says, these are fun, but I've never really liked them much. I used to get them when I played Magic in the form of foil cards that didn't do much for me. They were more expensive cards that did the same thing. I'll take the ones that cost half the price for my deck. Thanks. For board games, I think I have a few alternate art things from Kickstarter I've backed, but it doesn't matter enough to put me to care. Shocker, coming from the guy willing to pitch the whole box. So Michael is okay throwing away boxes to minimize storage. If flashback. He says, mm-hmm. I care about the game play, not the art most times. Don't get me wrong. I want the game to look good, but as long as the art isn't ugly, I'm more than happy to play with any version. I have to agree with this a lot, although this is a mixed bag. If someone is going to give away promos, so organized play or tournaments or something like that, where you have promo cards, I much rather that promo card be an alternate art card than a card with gameplay effect. So the Game of Thrones card game has alternate art cards that you can get for playing an organized play. And they're full bleed, so there's like a completely different layout on the card. You definitely looks different, but functionally it's identical. Those I don't mind, and I don't feel like if I don't have them, I'm envious and I must track them down. So I kind of like that for that type of promo.
So one promo that I got that I really love came actually in Maiden's Quest. And I like this because even though it affects gameplay, it's a solo game. So it's not like your experience is going to be like altered all that much. It's one card in the deck. But this one is if somebody asks you what you're playing and they sign your card, you have them sign it, and then you get bonuses based on how many signatures you've had. So you always have to have this card with you. So if somebody asks you what you're doing, then you can get your bonuses elongated. And that seems really fun because it's like I think this is a really good promo for the game. It like gets people, like you want people to ask you what you're doing. You want to be playing it in public. You want to try to get these things. And it's like actually like spreading the, you know, people who know about the game. And also like the more you use it, the more it affects the game, kind of a thing. I don't know. I really liked that one. I thought it was fun.
There's a genius. I mean, I think that's a genius, like, you know, idea. And I think that really has that special experience to it. And it's like actually like promoting the game as well. So I love that. And it's kind of interesting to hear, Chris, you say that, you know, those cards or expansions or promos that are exclusive that change the game are the ones you don't want. I would have thought that surely people who are into promos and exclusive, like that's a better thing, like to have, oh, this new gameplay involved. Like it's more of like the experience of the game is modified in some way. I'm not quite sure why that's not a good thing.
So, and I'm going to speak from the compulsive must collect everything. Back in the day when I was collecting Dice Masters, Dice Masters Organized Play was releasing every season, and which was like seems to be like every 3 months, they would release one rare, one uncommon, and one common card that you could get only with organized play. So you'd have to go, and you had a participation card that everyone could get, and then if you got in the finals, you got another card, and if you were a winner, you got this other card. Well, sometimes that card was really, really good, and you really wanted it. You wanted that version of Spider-Man because that version of Spider-Man was awesome. The problem is, then I have to go online and buy it for $30 because that version of Spider-Man is a must-have for any Spider-Man Dice Master thing.
That seems to create this kind of feedback loop of like the people who are really good get these cards and that makes them better. And it like, that doesn't seem very fun. I want like a card that like the loser gets.
Yeah.
Like you get this one because you're not very good at this game. So we're going to give you the like booster pack. So next time you can do better.
Well, what I've seen lately, more and more companies are going to, especially for their organized play stuff. And actually, we should do an entire episode on organized play. But just to give a quick disclaimer, if people don't, not disclaimer, but explainer, for people who don't know what organized play is, which is oftentimes referred to as OP, which is also stands for overpowered. So when people talk about OP cards, they could be talking about overpowered cards or organized play cards. But in any case, it is that confusing. Organized play, these are usually kits that are sent to game stores or potentially sometimes conventions as well, but usually game stores, because it's the publishers of the game wanting to help local game stores get people into their store. And so those game stores will buy and carry those products. Oftentimes, organized play will center around things that are collectible or tournament-ish in some way, something that makes people want to play this over and over. I actually just got done playing at the Gift of Games. We started our Shadespire League last week. And so now I'm playing Warhammer Underworld Shadespire, which is actually technically Warhammer Underworlds, but in any case, I'm playing a league there. And so we go every week, we play a game, and there will be promos and such that come with that kit that you can get for A, participating, and B, for winning. But these aren't cards per se. There's a couple, I think, alternate art cards, but they're like extra tokens or different things. There's a deck box and that kind of thing. Stuff that doesn't change the game, or you don't have something that is different gameplay wise, but it's a reward for participating. And that's kind of cool, because now I have this stuff that is actually functional within the game, but it's not game changing.
It's like almost like a little badge of honor. You're like, oh, look, I've got my cool card box because I'm a winner. Not like, oh, I won, so now I get to be even better and beat everybody.
Yep. Well, anyone who participated in the Keyforge event, they got like plastic tokens to track their unlocked keys and their, I always forget, Amber. So, I mean, that's just kind of neat. And I want those things. I would still go on eBay and probably buy those things, but it's not because I need it to be like up on all the gameplay stuff. It's just they're really cool and I want them. I'm a sucker. But
so
go ahead.
I was just going to throw in some feedback from Terrence because this was his topic suggestion.
We should probably hear from Terrence.
So he talks about how promos have affected his buying decision. So he describes pre-ordering Firefly Adventures because the promo figures they were offering were very cool. On the other hand, he described not buying the latest Clank in Space expansion because he is waiting, knowing that there will be promos if he buys it later.
Well, and he actually asked me to check at Essen to pick up the promos for these, because what Clank in Space was doing is if you bought it at a convention, you would get these promo cards. So you wouldn't want to buy it in the store, because if the only way to get these promos is to buy it at a convention, which is, I don't know if those are promos or not. Are those exclusives? You buy
exclusives?
It.
Exclusives? I don't know.
Whatever the case, naming aside. So I went to the booth and I'm like, do you still have the promo? He's like, no, we're sold out of them. And I'm like, okay, fine. Now these may end up showing up on BGG at a future point so you could get them. But I feel this, like I really do, where it's like, well, I kind of want to get this, but I know if I wait or if I buy it through this other thing or whatever, I'm going to get something extra for doing that. So I'm going to not buy this right now. And sometimes it's bad to not have that impulse buy, because maybe Terrence never buys this expansion because he can never get these promos. And I don't need these expansions without these promos, because darn it, the promos are the whole reason I'm buying the expansion. And interrupt me.
I think that it's a problem of knowing too much. If I don't know that these promos and exclusives are out there, I'm happy. I'm enjoying my games. I don't need them. They're not adding, or I'm not missing them. They might add to the game. They might make it better. But if I don't know, It's like ignorance is bliss when it comes to this. Once you start knowing too much, then you feel you get that like FOMO. You're missing out on it. But if you don't know, you can't miss out.
Josh, is that why you don't really care about promos? Because you're not invested enough in the game itself to seek out promos?
Yeah, I think, Katie nailed it absolutely on the head. It's just, you know, I don't even realize about these extra characters. I mean, even if I did, I don't know how into it I would be, like for Arcadia Quest, like just having extra characters. I don't think it would be that good. It would have to really significantly change the gameplay, and then maybe I'd be into it. And if I liked the sound of how that, rule change was, and I thought that'd be really fun and exciting and a new twist, then great. But for the most part, I don't know if there's extra content out there. And the most times it just seems like it's like art, you know, new artwork or a new character with not much different.
So what about a promo where it's like a cool character or somebody that you know? Like if, you know, maybe Arcadia Quest, you get a promo and that character's like, whatever. But then you get this promo of a character, an anime character that you really like. Is that different? Is that something you'd go after that you'd want to play? Or is it, whatever?
I think it would help a little bit. It definitely would. If it was someone I was really into, like if it was like Elon Musk was suddenly in it, I would be like, oh, that's cool. I want the Elon Musk figurine or something. But so I think it'd add something. But I there aren't too many things that I'm such a fan of that it would really sway me. So on the whole, not really.
There may be an Elon Musk parody character in Starcadia Quest. I mean, there might be. They did have a lot of parody characters in that one.
That's fun.
So Michael does actually mention that, you know, as far as upgraded bits and other things, he's all about that. But he does say, exclusives I am against entirely, though. And in the sense I mean in Kickstarter exclusive. Now I have been backing games for a while. I think I am 5 years ago in the first board game I funded, and there is nothing more likely these days to get me to ignore a game than Kickstarter exclusives. My experience with these has always been that it's a bad for those of us who don't follow all the Kickstarters regularly. Also, let's face it, the Kickstarter search function is bad without using specific publisher names or game names. So I would agree that the Kickstarter exclusive thing is a mixed bag for sure. There's a lot of it that makes me want, like, I wish I could say that I can walk away from something as like, it's an exclusive, so I'm going to put my foot down and I'm not going to buy this. But that would be a lie. Exclusives get me. They get a lot of people, and I don't think those are going away. But I don't know if that it's bad or not. But that's an entire episode.
I think that there's a whole point to this where it's like, it is a very useful tool to keep these publishers alive. You know, we've talked time and time again on the show about how difficult it is for anyone to publish a game, make a success, and make any money out of it. So if all we're doing by buying these things and getting people excited on them is, you know, like supporting these artists and supporting the hobby, then I think that's a good reason, like in itself. So I think it's good for that reason.
Yeah. I don't know, Kitty. You've never walked away from something because it was a Kickstarter exclusive, right?
I have never walked away from something because of a Kickstarter exclusive, but I also don't think I've been swayed to back something just because of the Kickstarter exclusive. It's like a kind of net neutral thing where it doesn't pull me one way or the other necessarily. When I have them, I like them, I use them. But I don't really back a lot of these games, especially these ones that have like the, like, oh, you get the miniatures. I guess there have been times where it's like, I don't remember what it was, that just had the panda meeple. Yep. Like, oh, maybe I do need to get it. But, you know, I just like seeing new and unique pieces, regardless of if they're exclusive or not. So I don't know.
Yeah.
If it really sways my decision making.
Yeah. For me, honestly, I think of most Kickstarter games in general, the entire game being a Kickstarter exclusive, because the vast majority of them you will never see in retail anyway. Unless it's a big publisher who's just kind of, you know, doing their push, you're not going to see these games on the shelves. So the entire game is an exclusive, and they can call the expansions or whatever as exclusive as they want. They're not going to print enough where it's going to make a difference. All right. So let's see. We've talked about, there's another thing, another type of exclusive or promo that I think is interesting to talk about. And that is, you open a game and inside of the game, you're punching out all your pieces and there's a piece for a different game. those types of things, they're almost like cross promo. So I bought two games at Essen, and just coincidentally, it wasn't planned, so I don't know if it was coincidental or not, but it wasn't intentional. They were actually had promos for each other in the game. So I'm like punching out the one, and I'm like, oh, wait, this is a promo for this game. And oh, I'm punching out this. I'm like, oh, this also has a promo for that game. And the thing is, the boards were slightly different. So even though they're a promo for the other, the punch board they use was a slightly different thickness. So you can see that there's a difference in these if you're using them as like blind tokens. They're not that bad, but it's just like, I just threw them in with the extra stuff. And then I'm going around and sorting and setting up the game. And I'm like, wait, what does this do? And I'm looking at the promo tile. I didn't realize it was the promo tile. But I'm looking at the tile. I'm looking in the book to try to figure out what the tile does. I have no idea what it does. I realize it's a promo with no explanation whatsoever. And I'm just like, okay, we'll toss this aside and pull an actual one. So what do you think of those where it's just like, hey, here's this promo for this game you may have never heard about. But if you do, you have this extra piece that you don't know anything about.
It can be a really good thing because if the publishers are doing it right and they're putting them in games like, oh, if you are playing this and you enjoy it, you'll like this game that might really like introduce you, take you to the next step. Like, oh, awesome. Now I know about this other thing I should check out. But sometimes I feel like it's just like, this is an unrelated game that we also happen to sell. So you should just go spend all your money on our stuff. And if they're not thoughtful, it can just feel like a money grub. Kind of a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like marketing.
Yeah. I think it's totally that. You know, it's like it could go one way or the other, just like Kitty says. I think some people feel like kind of a bit manipulated by some of this stuff. Like, oh, you know, you're just going to squeeze more money out of me. Like, these games are expensive anyway. Like, please stop these marketing tactics. But then, you know, like, like I said before, I think it's supporting the industry and the industry needs it because it's like, it's really hard to even make any money on a board game. So if that helps, then great. I think it's something unique and fun and can get excitement and interest.
It's not a necessarily bad thing, but the other part of what Chris was talking about, I think is worse, and you totally like glossed over it, which is the unexplained promo. The promo that has no rules explanation. There are so many of these games that have these rule books that like each component gets like a paragraph of how this works and how it affects the game, and then you get this promo piece and you go to play with it and you're like, I don't know what it does, and then it just becomes a piece of paper or cardboard or whatever it is, and it's just like, oh, what was the point of this even? Like, could I get like a sticker to put in my rule book, like that comes with like a legacy game that will add a little explanation of like how on earth I'm supposed to use this thing?
Yeah, well, I will agree. Like, this actually is another class of promo where it's like, oh, this is cool promo, but its effect is like, eh, okay. It adds nothing of any kind of interest to it. Maybe it's another card or something, but the card is so-so, or yeah, like you said, it adds a rule that complicates it, but doesn't add any real fun to it. I don't know. And then the promos that you get that are cross promos that we were just talking about, what if I don't care about that game? And now I have this extra piece, but I don't necessarily want to throw it out because maybe someday I will want it. And I don't want to have to buy this game again to get this promo. So I keep this thing around and people ask, what is that? It's like, I don't know. It's for a different game. Then why is it in this box? It's like, it just came like that. It's tricky. I like promos, but I would not, if they did not exist, I wouldn't care.
There's also the overpowered promo.
Oh.
Yeah. I've encountered these very rarely, but they can be, it seems like, such a troublemaker. It's like, oh, if you have this promo card, like, you can just beat everything. Like, this will make it, like, it's not even fun to play with these people anymore. And, like, I think publishers have to be really careful about, like, not affecting gameplay too much with the promos. Like, oh, yeah, like, you want to make it something that, like, oh, people are going to go out of their way and collect, and it'll be this thing, and people will talk about the game, and, like, that's the whole point of them. But you also don't want to make it so good that, like, oh, why bother even playing if you don't get this card?
Yeah. And you can't make it so different that it doesn't feel like it's part of the game. Like, we talked earlier, I think someone mentioned on the input thread about Reef, how if you bought Reef, you could get the promo, which is a little fish pack that comes with Reef. It looks totally different. It's like a little drawstring bag of wooden fish, which adds a new rule to the game, but it's so completely disjointed from what the game actually is. Like, I have the expansion. I read the rule lid. It's like a little sheetlet. And I don't get why this would add anything to this game. Like, if it's supposed to be there, why isn't it in the base game? And it's just way too different to try to learn this aspect when the game by itself is just fine. So, yeah. And as far as like your overpowered thing, I think Dice Masters, WizKids actually did this with Dice Masters. The first couple organized play, like the chase cards, were super, super powerful. So these cards were part of like a lot of people's decks. And if you wanted to be competitive, you had to go out and track down these organized play promo cards. Otherwise, you just weren't competitive enough. And they were completely valid to play. Like, tournament legal means that, hey, if you were one of the lucky ones that got this, then you're good. Otherwise, you're not. And I don't think that's a great way to deal with promos at all.
No, not at all.
All right. What else do we have here? We talked about conventions, alt art. I think we've covered promos pretty well. Any final thoughts on these things?
I don't think so.
Josh?
I've talked a lot.
it's just like the case that, like, for me, a promo that would really grab my attention would be sort of changing the game in some way and giving me an extra experience and a twist. But the double-edged sword with that is that if that was the case, then they should have included it in the game. Like, why hold that back and have to pay extra money? You know, expansions can fall into this kind of category. And so it's just like, it's a tough one. And so then you're left with just like extra content, extra sort of, you know, special rare characters. And for that, I think as a marketing tool to kind of support the industry, get people excited, build that brand loyalty, why not? I think that's great.
So you're saying they don't really hurt. So there's really no reason not to do them as long as they're not game breaking.
Exactly.
I could see that. All right. So here's
good
a question.
Wrap up.
Yeah. Here's a question to the listeners. Have you ever got a promo for something and that promo has got you to go out and buy the game? So you get the promo first and you're like, oh, I have this promo card or I have this promo piece of this game. Now I must go and buy the whole game. Or was it that you got the promo because you demoed it and you would have bought the game regardless of whether or not you had the promo or not? And kind of a follow-up to that, is the promo sort of like a business card to remind you that that game exists? You know, are you going through your stuff that it's like, oh, there's this game I meant to get but never did? Because I'll tell you, I have a stack of promos sitting down in my game room that have no games to go with them, and I have no idea what to do with these promo cards, but I should probably look it up. All right. As we reminded at the top of the show, next week will not be a feedback episode. We are going to be going to Gamehole Con. Josh is going to be going to some other state.
Yes.
And so I won't have time to go through all the feedback, which means we'll have a lot of feedback to go through on the next episode. We will probably do a double feedback. So the feedback episode, and I'll remind you next week as well, will be basically for the last five episodes, I think, including the SN episode. And next week's we'll have a surprise topic. It'll not be about Gamehole Con specifically, but it may be a topic that we come up with because we're at Gamehole Con. But I don't know what it's going to be, and I'm not going to put an input thread for it because, again, this week is going to be super hectic. So this gives you plenty of time to give us feedback for all this other stuff. And we'll do a double giveaway on our next feedback episode to make up for the skipped month. I think that's about it. So if you want to follow us more, you can follow us on Facebook. We're at @TabletopGameTalkPodcast, Twitter @TabletopGameTLK, Kitty's Lawful Good Mom, Josh is Josh's Blonde, I'm Game Master Chris. You can leave us a review on iTunes if you'd like, and you can also support us at TabletopGameTalk.com/Patreon or Patreon.com/TabletopGameTalk. Both of those will get you to the same place. I think that is enough for one day. Kitty, why don't you go ahead and start reading as I modify the notes under under your note.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening. And remember, we love your feedback. So email us with comments or questions about today's topic at feedback@TabletopGameTalk.com. And you'll be entered into a $50 gift card drawing on our next feedback episode.
Finally, a huge thank you to our patrons, Emil Jill Jam, George, Adam Harrison, the SGC, Thomas Accaretti, Samir Biswas, Jason Strong, Terence Miltner, Stephen Seitz, Michael Ohl, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimritz, Jerry Hang, Stefan,
I find your lack of faith disturbing,
Phillips,
Caleb O'Brien, Jennifer Engelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, Kyle Hammond, David Radke, Lance Morgan, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Lum, Phil Swartzel, Jordan Livingston,
Chad Covey, Ann Reynolds, Eric Hoffman, Adrian Dong, Christopher Vincent, Nate Faz, Funtham, Sean Peck, Eric Solander, Mike Smith, Christine Meyer, Trevor Davis, Wesley Trailer, Tim Vernig, Chris Lowe, Joe Hoover, and Timothy Gross. Until next week, keep playing games and having fun. So if it sounds familiar as to who was reading the names, it's because that was copied and pasted and not changed. And then I was doing so good on my names. I'm like, I just know these. Boom, 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 boom. And then I stumbled myself up. But that's all right. It's really late for
it
us
happens.
Right now.
Can I go to bed now?
Not yet. I have to edit a podcast.
Oh, boy.
Josh, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Have fun at GameholeCon.
We'll try. Good night.
Night.